You may be seated. And would you turn with me in your Bibles this morning to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Verse 14, greet one another with a kiss of love. Peace to you all who are in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I know this is a very unusual verse, and we, especially in our culture, we see a passage such as this, and you know, what does this really mean to us? Greet one another with the kiss of love. The title of this message, What's in a Kiss? Now, do you remember your first kiss? Now, a kiss from someone who liked you, or maybe it was a kiss that you gave to somebody that you liked. And my first was just a very memorable event. I will tell you this story briefly, but I'm just going to change the name to protect the innocent. And it was an innocent kiss. I was only 9 years old. And my mother had taken me, we lived in this little cow town in Montana, eastern Montana, and the fair would come to town and everybody went to the fair. And so, you know, they had the rides, and I hadn't been on rides before other than riding a horse, which I was fine, but I decided I was going to go on the Ferris wheel. And so I went on the Ferris wheel, and you know how the Ferris wheel is. It's, you know, going around and around, and I'll tell you, I got off that Ferris wheel, and I really did not feel good at all. I mean, I'd had a nice hot dog before the Ferris wheel, and I got off, and there just happened to be this mother that brought her little 9-year-old girl that was part of our church, and to be honest, the little girl had a, you know, I was a very handsome, a very tall, broad-shouldered 9-year-old boy, and she ran up and she gave me a kiss on the cheek. Now, at that very moment, I lost my hot dog right there in front of her, in front of everyone else, and I was so embarrassed. And of course, years later, we moved to Florida, and when I was 15, I came back to live with my dad. I went to the high school, same girl. She would not even look at me or give me the time of day she probably would never forget that's the boy that I kissed him and he threw up. And so, you know, that's a true story. And that was my very, very first kiss. Well, this message, What's in a Kiss? Greet one another with a kiss of love. And I thought, well, there must be something to this because, you know, this isn't the only time that the church is commanded in this sense to greet one another with a kiss or a holy kiss or a kiss of love. Romans 16:16, greet one another with a holy kiss. 1 Corinthians 16:20, all the brethren greet you, greet one another with a holy kiss. 2 Corinthians 13:12, greet one another with a holy kiss. 1 Thessalonians 5:27, greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. And so you have these five letters to the church with the word greet with a kiss of love, greet with a holy kiss. And so what we understand about this passage, we can kind of pass over that and say, well, you know, that's not part of our culture. But every command, every word in the scriptures is divinely inspired by God. And since this command is it's given repeatedly, greet one another with a kiss, it's repeated so often, there must be something to it. Now we need to rewind. We need to go back about 2,000 years and briefly step into that Near Eastern culture. In that day, greeting one another with a kiss, actually that was a very common expression. It was a very common greeting. Probably the most famous kiss in the New Testament was the greeting, that kiss from Judas to Jesus. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26, verse 48. Now, his betrayer had given them a sign saying, whomever I kiss, he is the one, seize him. Immediately he went up to Jesus and he said, greetings, Rabbi, and he kissed him. And so we recognize that that common greeting. But in the case of Judas towards Jesus, it was not the kiss of love. There are some passages in the Bible where culture must be considered, and this is one of those passages. You just can't throw out a command because it does not represent 21st century thinking. You've got to get into the passage, understand what was the intent, what was the meaning. So how do we handle these verses? And I think about, well, you know, greeting somebody with a kiss today, that can, you know, that can wind you up in court. I mean, that's just, you know, so we got to look at, we got to go past the physical act, and we've got to look at the heart of what is it that the writers of the letters were conveying. And so we look at this. First of all, we need to understand what the kiss represents. That probably depends upon who you ask. Someone went onto a university campus. They asked a professor from each of the various departments, what does a kiss represent? Here are some of the answers that they received back. Well, the professor of computer science said, a kiss is a few bits of love compiled into a bite. The professor of algebra, he said, well, you know, a kiss is 2 divided by nothing. I like that one. The professor of geometry said, well, a kiss is the shortest distance between 2 straight lines. The English teacher said, well, a kiss is a noun that is used as a conjunction. It is more common than proper. The accounting professor said, well, a kiss is a credit because it is profitable when it is returned. The economics professor said, a kiss is a thing for which the demand is higher than the supply. They got to the engineering professor, and he said, a what? What does that mean? So I hope there's no engineers among you this morning that are just figuring out what the kiss is. But the command to kiss, what did it mean to the writers of the New Testament? For that matter, what was it that was in the heart of God when he wrote this message and he conveyed these words through the Spirit to the writers of the church? What is the holy kiss? I believe if you were to ask the Apostle Paul, he would sum it up with Romans 12:10. Be kindly, affectionate to one another with brotherly love. Peter and Paul, the command to greet with a kiss meant to greet each other with this demonstration of affection, kindness, warmth, love to one another. It meant that loving affection was to be such a priority within the church that it's the first thing that we demonstrate when we see one another. We greet each other with some form of love and affection. Now, this tells us something about what God thinks about the depths of relationships within the church. God wants for us to have an affection, a loving affection towards one another. Now, you say, well, now, what does that mean? What does that look like? What are you talking about when you say an affection? What does it mean when Paul writes, be affectionate towards one another? That word, affection, that Paul uses in Romans 12:10, it's a tender, it's a loving, it's a care, it's an attitude that parents have towards children. It is an attitude that husbands and wives share. It is this attitude that grandparents have towards their grandchildren. It's what you might consider to be a family love. Now, this is the body, it's the family of Christ. That's why Paul tells us to be affectionate to one another with what? He said a brotherly love. Now, I think most of us should be able to relate to what Peter are talking about. We have, many of us have grown up with affectionate parents. You know what affection is. Now, my mother, she was very, very affectionate. Before she passed away, she would often call on the phone, almost on a weekly basis. And she would say something like this, and I've saved those messages, and sometimes I will just play them back just to hear her voice. And here's how it goes so often. Hello, son. I was just thinking about you, and I wanted to call you and tell you that I love you so much, and I'm praying for you. That's a real message from my mother. I was thinking about you, and I just wanted to tell you that I love you and that I'm praying for you. The love of a mother, the motherly affection, it's the affection that we are essentially to have towards one another in the church. There's to be this tenderness. There's to be a sense of care and concern about the needs of each other, a love. You know, in this day and in this culture, when this letter was written, you need to remember that there were people who were coming into the church, and when they came to Jesus Christ, it wasn't like you and I. We come to Christ, and we have our choice of churches where we can go. And there's tens and thousands of people. There's small churches. There's mega churches. There's all types of churches. And you go into those churches, and they're happy. They will greet you, and they're happy to see you. But I want you to consider this culture. To receive Jesus Christ, to be a follower of Jesus Christ, it meant so many times to be ostracized by your family. It meant to, in some cases, you lost your position where you were at work. It meant that families turned against one another. And so the church, you were leaving what you once had. You had that natural affection within the family. And the family said, "You're following Jesus? You're out." And so when you come into the church, what is it that replaces? What is it you're going to receive? How is it that you're going to, you know, replace that family affection that you once shared with your biological family who has now ostracized you? And so you see the importance, and that's why it's in so many letters that we are to greet one another with this sense of affection, of brotherly love. Because that is what the church is to be. I grew up in a church, unfortunately, that was a very divided church. It was a legalistic church. It was cold and it was formal. And I never experienced that love until I came to a Calvary Chapel in Costa Mesa, California. And when I went into that church, I began to discover and I began to see what that affectionate love looked like. And I remember going on a few men's retreats not long after coming to Calvary. And, you know, I'll tell you, it was quite interesting because men would come up to me with a smile on their face and some, you know, they give me a hug. And it's like, man, I'm just not into this hug stuff. I mean, you know, I'm okay with a handshake. And so finally I learned the trick. The trick is, before they get to you, put out your hand. That's the signal. No hugs. And so I resisted that affection. And I think it's a little bit easier for women. But I think for men, this can be very difficult. You know, because many of us, we grew up in homes. We had, you know, back in our day, men didn't often show affection. And so in my home, you know, with my father, that relationship was so formal. I never thought about a relationship from man to man being one that was an affectionate relationship. Now, men and women need to understand, they need to understand that it's not about what you and I think towards tender affection towards each other. This is about what God wants and desires the church to be. That's why it's here. That's why it's in the scripture. That's why there's the command to be affectionate towards one another, to greet one another with this holy kiss. Now, by now you may be asking yourself, well, if the Bible is commanding us, is it commanding us we got to kiss each other? No. No, absolutely not. The Bible is not saying that we are to kiss everyone that we greet. This is one of those passages where we've got to make some adjustments according to what is acceptable in the day that you and I live. What are the acceptable forms of affection within the church? Well, you go back to 1 Peter 5:12. If you're taking notes, you might want to circle that word love. If you've studied the word love in the Bible, you know that there are several Greek words that are used The highest, the purest, the greatest form of love is what the Greek refers to as agape love. Agape. That is the word that Peter is using here. Agape love. That is the purest form of love. That is the love that is, that's the love that's associated with God's love towards us. So when Jesus said in John's gospel, he said, you know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that word love, that's the agape, unconditional, no strings attached love. It means that I'm giving love, not expecting anything in return. Agape love, strongly connected with giving. God loved. God is affectionate. God gave. We are affectionate towards one another because God has been affectionate. He has shown us his own love. The word of God, Paul wrote, he said, the love of God has been poured into our hearts. God's love, agape love. And so Peter tells the church, he said, you know, greet one another with this kiss of love. That's agape love. Peter used the word kiss because the kiss was that acceptable form of greeting in the church, but it was to be joined with a pure love. And as we read this passage, it's only natural. Your eye focuses on that word kiss, but the real word that we are to be looking at is the word agape. It's the love. The love is to be such a high priority in the church. It's so important that from the moment that we gather together, we're to demonstrate agape love toward one another. We are to treat one another affectionately, Peter is saying. You know that one of my favorite songs, here we are, gathered together as a family. And that's really the church. We are the family of God. We are a family of believers. Now, I do believe that we need to give loving affection with discretion. Now, here's where we get to an interesting part of the message here, because, you know, I'll tell you what, a loving greeting in our culture, it can be as simple as a warm handshake. A loving greeting certainly can be, it can be a hug. Conveying agape love may simply be words that you share with someone in Christ. The kiss of love was generally in Peter's day was from, I will tell you this, it was from men towards men and it was from women towards women. So in that day there was a sense of discretion. They weren't just walking up to each other giving kisses. And especially in a day where I think that physical gestures can be so misunderstood, men and women. I mean, there needs to be a sense of discretion when there is a greeting with each other. If God has filled our hearts with agape love, I'll tell you, there's absolutely no problem. Your heart is going to be pure. The mind is going to be pure. The affection is going to be pure. It's going to be affection that is born out of the love that God has placed in your heart towards one another. But when it comes to affection, there is always the danger that is an affection that's just motivated by physical attraction. A man can be attracted to a woman can be attracted to a man, and that attraction could lead to some show of affection that gratifies the flesh. You say, you know, wow, she's cute. You know, I think I'll give her some 1 Peter, you know, 5:12. Not. The same can be true of men towards women. I mean, our affection towards one another, if it's motivated by some form of self-gratification, then that's not agape love. That is not the love of God. And so in the church, there is this danger where close relationships are developed, and we need to be aware of what the limits are, and we need to make sure that as we see a verse such as this, that when we greet one another, that it is to be the pure form of agape affection. At the end of their first date, a young man takes his favorite girl home. He's emboldened by the night, and he decides to try for that important first kiss. And so with an air of confidence, he leans with his hand against the wall, and he's smiling, and he says to her, "Darling, how about a goodnight kiss?" Horrified, she replies, "Are you mad? My parents will see us." "Oh, come on. Who's going to see us at this hour? No, please, can you imagine if we get caught? Oh, come on, there's nobody around when they're all sleeping. No way, it's too risky." "Oh, please, I like you so much." No, I like you too, but I just can't." Oh, yes, you can, please. No, I can't." One more time. "Oh, please." Out of the blue, the porch light goes on, and the girl's sister shows up in her pajamas, her hair disheveled, and in a sleepy voice, the sister says, "Dad says to go ahead and give him a kiss, or I can do it, or if need be, he'll come down himself and he will do it, but for crying out loud, take your hand off the intercom button." You know, there's something to this story. This message, 1 Peter 5:12, there is, in a sense, there is an intercom button, because our Father knows our heart. And so when we come into the fellowship like this and we are greeting one another, the Lord is not looking at the outward appearance. God is looking upon what is taking place within the heart. And what he wants to see among us is a genuine, a sincere, an affection that originates with his agape love. You may be thinking this morning, I don't feel that. I don't have that when I come into church. I'll tell you, don't feel alone in that. I think that if everyone had it automatically, that this command, I mean, five letters, it would have never been given. There's a reason why we are to, you know, we read something like this and shouldn't that be natural? Shouldn't that be normal? It's not. Many of you have heard of the pastor, John Corson, Applegate Christian Fellowship. He spoke many times at Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa. And he would share at the conferences, the various conferences up at Twin Peaks in Southern California. And there was one conference that he spoke at. And he recognized that as he shared, that there was just something that was missing. He recognized that he was simply speaking out of just, they had called him and they had invited him, and he recognized that many times his sharing, his teaching was not from a heart of love. And so he confessed this when he came down from the mountain. He was there at Costa Mesa in the courtyard, and he there was a group of men. He just confessed it. He said, "You know, I just not sharing in love." They gathered around him. They laid hands on him. And they prayed for him. And they prayed that God would impart his love into John's heart. John said that was a turnaround point of his ministry. He said he began to experience a love that he did not have before when he would share to the church. And so we recognize that this love, it's something that God wants to give to us. It's not what we manufacture. It's not what we make up. It's not what we pretend. It's what we ask for and what God will give to us. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Whoever has been born of God will love. For what? God is love. And he wants to give his love to us. And so Peter writing, he said to the church, he said, greet one another with a kiss of agape love. In other words, come into the church. This is your family. Be affectionate to one another. In Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for your word to us. And may our hearts grasp the importance of this command, this exhortation to love and to be affectionate. And Lord, we recognize we cannot make this up. You must give it to us, Lord. And so for this church, I would say, Lord, pour out your love. And I thank you for the love that is among us. In Jesus' name, amen.